Today on Compassion Radio.
The mud is in the houses, and the houses are tumbled and destroyed. It's a fairly extensive village with a lot of houses. And it seemed that not a soul could survive that. And yet we did meet some people afterward that had come from that village and escaped ahead of time. But the wall of pyroclastic flow and lava, and especially the gases were lethal, and nobody that was up there at the time could have survived.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. For much of the last two decades, based on a belief that acting on conscience is central to our humanity, Dr. Jim Jennings has responded to disasters and worked to help improve healthcare delivery in some of the neediest and most hazardous places on Earth. Today, Bram catches up with Jim in Guatemala, where he and his team are working with locals in the area to help the people devastated by a recent huge earthquake and volcano eruption. We'll hear from several members of Jim's team, as well as a woman who actually lives in the area hardest hit by these natural disasters. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
Jim Jennings, welcome back to Compassion Radio. I know you're in some place very special right now, and somewhere on the front lines of faith and missions work and all the other important things that Christians should be doing. Jim, where are you right now?
Well, we're in Guatemala, where the volcano and Fuego volcano has erupted in a major way and destroyed a wide area of the villages near its base. It's been very destructive to the whole area of the country of Guatemala, and a lot of people have been lost and displaced in it.
And you were going down there because you've had a presence and a ministry of relief happening in Central America before and throughout Haiti and other parts of the Caribbean, and of course the work we've done with you before in Africa and the Middle East. So we know that you personally and your organization has been very involved with these kind of needs around the world for many years. So what's unique about this situation, Jim?
I think this is very much like the terrible hurricane that destroyed towns and villages and churches in Honduras some 10, 15 years ago. But this scale of this is very astonishing, and the tragedy is graphic in front of your eyes when you see the villages destroyed, the people displaced, and the conditions here. We've worked in most of the Central American countries and also in Peru. But for the last 3 years, we've done some work here in Guatemala, but nothing like this. Today was exceedingly dramatic because I had a team of five people, and we went to the ground zero for the volcano eruption that happened just a week ago. And in that eruption, there have been 109 fatalities and 300 people missing.
Wow.
So far, with some 6,000 in shelters and 21 shelters around the base of the mountain. But overall, they believe 15,000 are displaced and 1.7 million people affected by the volcano eruption on June the 3rd and 4th.
Jim, I'm imagining that the area around this particular volcano in Guatemala is fairly remote and not very developed. So what is the situation for those villages? Can they be reached by roads? Is the government moving in relief supplies and army to secure the area and begin to dig for those who might be trapped? Or what's happening with that, and what kind of conditions will they have to work in?
There is a road from the town of Escuintla. And from that town, you go to El Rodeo, which is a village that was affected greatly by this. But right at the epicenter, ground zero, where the greatest damage was done, we were at the San Miguel de los Lotes village. And frankly, that village was wiped off the face of the earth.
Hmm.
The mud is in the houses, and the houses are tumbled and destroyed. It's a fairly extensive village with a lot of houses. And it seemed that not a soul could survive that. And yet we did meet some people afterward that had come from that village and escaped ahead of time. But the wall of pyroclastic flow and lava and especially the gases were lethal. And nobody that was up there at the time could have survived.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again whenever it's convenient just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry and take a look at all the other great resources at CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members, but sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Jim, I'm imagining that the area around this particular volcano in Guatemala is fairly remote and not very developed. So what is the situation for those villages? Can they be reached by roads? Is the government moving in relief supplies and army to secure the area and begin to dig for those who might be trapped? Or what's happening with that, and what kind of conditions will they have to work in?
There is a road from the town of Escuintla, and from that town you go to El Rodeo, which is a village that was affected greatly by this. But right at the epicenter, ground zero, where the greatest damage was done, we were at the San Miguel de los Lotes village. And frankly, that village was wiped off the face of the earth.
Hmm.
The mud is in the houses, and the houses are tumbled and destroyed. It's a fairly extensive village with a lot of houses. And it seemed that not a soul could survive that. And yet we did meet some people afterward that had come from that village and escaped ahead of time. But the wall of pyroclastic flow and lava and especially the gases were lethal. And nobody that was up there at the time could have survived.
Now, the elevation of this volcano is pretty high. How high up on the mountain were these villages?
Well, I'd say that basically at the lower slopes, because that's where they had the very fertile volcanic soil, black soil that could grow crops from centuries of and ages of volcanic eruptions that have conquered the area, but it's very fertile. And so they were their animals. We saw lots of evidence of animals that were destroyed, and their bones were still there. There were some vultures picking at the bones. The houses were empty, but all kinds of things were there. We found a La Santa Biblia laying in the ruins, the Holy Bible. Then we found some photographs. Brian, you will not believe this. We found photographs of people from their houses. We took a picture of it. We came down to the shelter below, and maybe I can introduce you to a lady who can tell you what we discovered when we went to that. She's our translator and is working here in a mission up in Petén, which is the lowland area of Guatemala. There's a hospital there that she and her husband are working in.
I'd love to meet her.
This is Vicky Molina Uritzer, and I'd like to ask you to meet her right now. So let me give this microphone to her.
Hello.
Hello, Vicky. This is Bram with Compassion Radio. Thanks for being willing to talk with us a bit about what's been happening there in Guatemala.
Oh, well, it's completely devastated. We found this family, the pictures that they found. We found the family in the shelter.
You
it
found
was amazing.
Them? Oh, wonderful.
Yes, we found them. Some of them lost relatives, their parents. Some other ones lost their kids. There were families that they died, the complete family. And another one that only one was alive and all the rest were dead. I was really sad. They are in the shelter and they don't have, they have food, they have clothing, but they don't have a place to go, to live, to establish.
How far away from the pyroclastic flow that wiped out these villages, how far away from that have these survivors been removed to refugee camps?
Yeah, about 5 miles away
and
from there.
Was there transportation available to them to bring them, or did they have to walk down to the camps?
They have to walk.
Wow.
They ran, actually. Whoever could have a vehicle to help others, but it was like the lava and the sand and everything were chasing them. They have many people died because they couldn't run.
Right.
You know, it's really sad.
Vicky, there's not a lot of media that's covered this disaster that we know of here in the United States. I mean, it's made the news cycle, but not in a way that's really got to the top of our consciousness, possibly because the most interesting volcano story for us has been the slow lava flows across the southern part of the big island of Hawaii. And the kind of volcano eruption that you were part of is a very different kind, a kind of explosive up and down with gases and rocks and mud and things falling on villages.
Yes, all the houses were completely full of sand and volcanic rocks and everything, and with the rain got worse.
Now,
it covers the roads.
The kind of destruction that you've seen is very different than we might expect from thinking about lava being a hot, moving rock. But we don't know a whole lot about the differences. We're learning that some as we study these stories. But I do want our listeners on Compassion Radio to understand what the challenges are for the people that live on these mountains and what you're doing, what you're finding as you go from village to village. What do Americans need to know about the kind of disaster that has happened in Guatemala and how the Christians are responding to it?
Well, when Christians responded by bringing clothing, water, some food, they have the basics. But they still need more things like pots and pans to cook with, and they need a piece of land to go because most of them don't know what is going to happen because they don't have anywhere to go. You know, they lost their house, their piece of land, so they don't have where to go. So they are waiting to see if the government is going to do something.
Have you seen any government action so far?
I see they have shelters everywhere. They have several shelters where they are giving food and all the essentials, but still they can't stay there forever. You know, they still need to find a place to go.
Now, you're a native of that part of the world, and you've been a translator for Jim and his team. Thank you for that service, by the way, helping them to understand better what the needs are in the country. Has anything surprised you about the devastation you've seen?
Yes, I thought it was only one house covered, and when I was there, I noticed that all the houses were covered with mud and destruction. Yes. Here, I'm going to give the phone to Mr. Jim.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. And Vicky, thank you so much for sharing what you've seen so far in this disaster.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for this opportunity. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Hey, Jim. So tell me, where do you go from here? You're one guy amongst thousands, usually are, and usually end up in places that many other agencies haven't even touched yet. So what do you think is going to be the next step for the Christian relief efforts there in Guatemala?
Well, we have, I think, a huge challenge. We have also a great opportunity. Let me say that today our team, five people, were involved in the search and recovery of bodies effort. Mm. And we went for a great long distance during that pyroclastic flow and followed it up to the mountain as far as we could and went through several villages, but the one village, as I said, San Miguel de las Lotes. But from that place, we came back down to the shelter, and we met a young girl there, about 16 years old, named Nancy Chiquito Lopez. And we showed her the picture that we had found in one of the houses there. We took a snapshot of it. And she said, "Mi mama, it is my mother." And we were astonished that that could be, connection could be made. So she brought her mother out, Aura Lopez, and she told us that they had lost the family members and were in deep distress. We were able to supply some of the need that they would have over the coming weeks and months. And then we found other people. One old lady about 70 years old named Juana de Paz from San Miguel de los Lotes. She lost her parents, three sisters, and three children.
Oh, goodness.
You know, and so the government has found that they are in need of psychosocial counseling. And I'm glad to see that the major agencies and governments are now turning to that as a reality for aiding and the health of the people, mental health being a big part of it. And, you know, Conscience International has done now in about seven countries. Mm-hmm. And this summer or this year we did in Uganda a trauma counseling training program. And we're going to do one this month in Nigeria as well, in Lagos. So those are activities that we need to do. But here, I think our main goal will be to erect shelters that are commensurate with the needs of the people in a style and pattern that they can be comfortable living in compared to, you know, temporary shelter or tents or that sort of thing they might have to live for months. And it rains very heavily here every day.
Yes.
So this is a huge issue, Bram, that we'd like to ask people to pray for the needs that we might be able to respond. Fortunately, Vicky's husband is Russ Johnson, and he is an expert in putting together the kinds of aid packages and buildings that we are going to need. He's working right now in a hospital, as I said, in Pekin, the lowland area north of here.
Jim, Conscience International has been one of those agencies that has done things that nobody else can or will do. Namely, you wait for the news cycle to fall off. And then you look at what the real needs are going to be over the mid to longer term, and you deploy people that know the culture and the situation and find ways to be like a surgeon's knife, effective in really important ways. You did that with the Rohingya by sending people into the camps and getting survival food, but also building relationships with key tribal leaders so they can have openings in the future to help them politically and socially and medically. I know you'll
in
do
Bangladesh with the refugees from Myanmar, right?
Yes. And I know you'll do the same thing there in Guatemala. But I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been more news about this particular disaster up here.
Well, I think there's no news here. We saw one from England and maybe from Japan. I haven't seen any American networks here this time, but it's different than most of the others that we've seen. However, the long-term effect of this particular disaster is going to cast a long shadow. And so I think you're right. We are looking for ways to be really effective in the longer term. And right now I'm going to introduce to you Russ Johnson, who is a dedicated missionary here in Guatemala and has been here a number of years, and is in fact married to Vicky that you heard just a minute ago. So let me introduce Russ to you.
Hey, Bram, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you for joining us on Compassion Radio. Jim and I have traveled a number of times to different parts of the world where these kind of projects are underway, and I'm thrilled to be able to get the first-person perspective here very close to the event. It seems like you get your work cut out for you. What are you seeing is going to be the big push right now? What things do Americans really need to know about the disaster there in Guatemala?
Well, it's real. The devastation that we've seen, we've been up the mountain to see the homes that are completely buried. Two-story homes that are literally, we were standing on top of a two-story home, and the roof was all covered with sand, so we didn't even know that we were on somebody's roof. We walked to the edge, and we saw the tin. The tin was pulled back, and the house was completely filled with sand.
Wow.
I thought it was on the road. So, the devastation's real. Praise God, there haven't been thousands and thousands of deaths, but it's a hard-hit area.
It surprises me that there aren't that many, of course, and I'm glad that at least some were got out in time, or maybe the timing of the pyroclastic flow was such that people had a little bit of a chance to run. Nonetheless, we're still talking about hundreds of people lost and probably some that will never be found. So you, as a faithful believer and a missionary, you travel amongst these places where there's nothing but death and loss. What's your perspective on it, and how is your ability to minister right now different than what an aid agency might do by coming in with just material supplies?
Well, we were up on the mountain, and my wife ran across the guy that he's just sitting there, and he is, you can tell that he's like in the shock process, and his whole family's right in front of him, and they're buried.
Yeah.
They're no longer living.
That's a tough road to hoe there, friend. And I'm glad that you're willing to step into this kind of crisis, as hard as it may be on your own heart to do so.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms and Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring. Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-8255. 2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.